Hello, and welcome to this half-hour dose of weekly Jewish spirituality. Jews have a tradition of praying three times a day, and at Mishkan, we have a daily virtual minyan at 8 a.m. Central to get your day started. Folks join us from across the country and across the world as we begin each day with words and songs of gratitude, inspiration, healing, and Torah. Without further ado, I invite you to breathe a little deeper, connect a little more with yourself, with God, with Torah, with this community, and with the world around you, wherever you are, whatever your time zone.
I wanted to start with a chant. Irene had actually suggested this one weeks and weeks ago, and I thought about holding off on it until we get to the month of Nisan, which begins next week. But then I thought, you know, at least for me right now, I have completely changed my orientation from the orientation of Purim to now thinking about Passover, because it's in 3 weeks. I mean, 3 weeks feels like a long time, but I feel like Passover requires preparation. And so the spiritual preparation, often for many people who actually do the kitchen thing, you know, and like cleaning kitchens and getting rid of old cereal and old bread and old bagels and the stuff in the freezer and whatever, you know, like, the spiritual preparation part often is secondary to the physical thing. And we imagine that by going through the physical motions of preparing for Passover, inherently, we will somehow clean out the gunk or prepare emotionally to be sitting at the Seder table, thinking big, you know, sort of Exodus thoughts, you know, and having big Exodus conversations. And I thought, you know, it's not never too early to start that. So thank you to Irene. I don't know if she's on this morning, but for making the suggestion of this particular chant. What it reminds me of is the line in the beginning of the Siddur. If you open up, you know, any traditional Siddur, you'll see at the beginning, it says, Hareini mekabel alai mitzvat haborei ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah, the commandment of my creator, to love my neighbors as myself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is put at the beginning of the Siddur. I can only imagine, because the idea is we're about to go through a bunch of physical and verbal motions, lest you think it's just about the physical and the verbal and not about what you internalize, not about the message we take with us and what we do with it then in our life. Let us remind you, this is what it's about. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, loving people. So we're going to start this morning with this circle chant.
Circle round for freedom, circle round for peace, for all of us imprisoned, circle for release. Circle for the planet, circle for each soul, for the children of our children, keep the circle whole. Circle round for freedom, circle round for peace, for all of us imprisoned, circle for release. Circle for the planet, circle for each soul, for the children of our children, keep the circle whole. Circle round for freedom, circle round for all of us imprisoned, circle for release. Circle for the planet, circle for each soul, for the children of our children, keep the circle whole. Circle round for freedom, circle round for peace, for all of us imprisoned, circle circle for release. Circle for the planet, circle for each soul, for the children of our children. Keep the circle.
Amen. Moda ani lefanecha ruach hay vekayam shechezarta binishmati Bechem baraba emunatecha Moda ani lefanecha Ruach hay vekayam shechezarta Binishmati
Grateful am I, grateful am I.
As I stand before you, living spirit of the world, this soul you gave me, your great faith in me. May I be grateful, may I be good. Ve'asuli mikdash ve'shachanti betocham va'anachnu nevarech yam. Me'ata ve'ad olam moda ani lefanecha ruach hay vekayam shechezarta binishmati vechemla rabba Emunatecha. There's so many good intentions to start the day off with. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Can you see the screen that I'm sharing? Yeah, good. Okay. I don't know anything anymore. Yesterday somebody told me Mercury's in retrograde, which I still don't totally understand, but I think basically means technology and other things don't always work the way they're supposed to. I'm going to transition into Baruch Hu. Now that we've had some morning warming up, spiritual warming up. So if you're able to stand and face east, kind of in a mountain pose, allowing your shoulders to relax, your knees to feel loose. Baruch Hu et Adonai HaMevorach.
Baruch Adonai HaMevorach Le'olam
Va'ed. Baruch Adonai HaMevorach Le'olam Va'ed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Yotzer Or U'Borei Choshech Osei Shalom U'Borei Et HaKol. Sing about this one. Hamma, 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 hamma. Ah, Ameira,
Ameira, Ameira, Ve'aren, Ve'lazarim, Aleha Berachamim. Ameira, 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 Ve'aren, Belabarim aleha, belabarim aleha, belabarim aleha, berachamim uv tuva mechadash bechol yom tamid uv tuva. Mechadash maaseh bereishit hamma 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 hamma. Or Hadash, Hatzion Tair, Venis Kahulanu Mehra, Neoro Baruchata Aduna Yotzer, Hameorot.
Just looking at this last blessing here. We've talked about this before, that this blessing was the source of some debate among the rabbis. I'm gonna show you where it comes from. The way that blessings work is there's always like the way that long blessings work is there's like an intro blessing and a conclusion blessing, and they reinforce each other. And so, for example, here after the Baruch Hu, blessing the creation of everything, blessed is the one whose name is blessed, and blessed is that one throughout all time. And then there's this blessing for creation. Blessed are you, the creator and shaper of all things, peace and everything, right? But it begins with this light and darkness, Yotzer Or, shaper of light, Vorei Choshech, and creator of darkness. And so then you get down through, there's a lot actually of text, which we don't have reflected here. But through all of the kind of, it's like the body of the 5-paragraph essay, you know, the evidence of God's creating light and darkness, God's shaping hand in the universe, something like that. And here you see it again, Hame'ira la'aretz, the lighting up of the world and everything in it, the creating of everything anew every single day. And so then you get to the bottom, to the closing, sort of the conclusion paragraph of the blessing, which is connected to the intro paragraph that introduced, you know, you, creator of light and darkness. So down here, Or Chadash, a new light, Al Tzion Ta'ir. Oh, new curveball. You're never supposed to introduce a new concept in the conclusion paragraph. What? Al Tzion Ta'ir, on Zion should shine, v'nizkechu lanu mehera le'orot, le'oro, and let us be worthy of its light. Baruch Atah Adonai Yotzer HaMe'orot. It's like, blessed are you, the creator of the lights. So essentially, they went ahead and stuck with the theme of light in this closing paragraph, but they snuck in something that appears to have been on their mind. It's like they just couldn't not mention the one place in the world where they were hoping a new light would shine. Here we are talking about the creating of newness and the creating of possibility and light and darkness and, you know, blessing the creator of light, 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 light. And then down here at the bottom, they just sneak in something that appears to have just been lurking just beneath the surface on their mind, Zion, right? And when they wrote this, of course, they were probably not in Zion. They were probably somewhere else creating these blessings, thinking about a place that they wanted to see a new light shine. And then, of course, you know, the next blessing down here goes to love. We start talking about love. I'm just struck by the things that follow us wherever we go and that we try to compartmentalize. And even if we're thinking about other things, and even if we're supposed to be thinking about other things, the theme is other things, our body is in a different place, and we just can't help ourselves, you know, from letting our mind go to that place or person or situation that is just preoccupying us. There's something unresolved about it. There's something unfinished. There's something that requires our attention, our love, our light, somebody's light. And, you know, in meditation, one of the things they teach you is, you know, you're supposed to sit there, take breaths, clear your mind. But of course, you can't clear your mind, because immediately the second you start trying, things begin to rise to the surface. And rather than beating yourself up and going, oh, I'm not supposed to think about that. Oh, I was supposed to be compartmentalizing that. Oh, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing right now. You're just supposed to notice, ah, that appears to be what is on my mind right now. And you acknowledge it. And you say, I'll come back to you later. I'm going to go back to my breath. You know, and there's this kind of consistent coming back to the place where you intended for your mind to be, with full loving recognition that our minds are basically not our own. We can't really control them. We can try, we can practice. It's a muscle that we can continue to refine and build. And I feel like we do that here in prayer. We have, you know, theme after theme after theme, blessing after blessing, light, love. I mean, truly, it's such a, this is like the Jewish prayer service is like one series of hippie words after the next, like love, light, peace, infused with the things that have been preoccupying our ancestors for thousands of years. And in fact, preoccupy many of us too. And I just want to acknowledge, right? That is true. That is there. And it's there for me too. I don't know how many of you as well. I'd be curious to know, because I don't think this is true for everyone, that everybody's preoccupation is the same. Highly doubtful. But I feel like in a minion and in a community, one of the lovely things is you actually get to know other people's preoccupations, the things that keep people in the room up at night, the things people are thinking about, the people are thinking about, the places people are thinking about, and directing our love and light to. So as we go into Ahava Rabbah, Shema V'Ahavta, I do want to turn our attention, our love and prayer, to the people and places who need love and light and healing. And so if you want to use this time and space to share the names of folks you're interested in thinking about. Oh, Susanna Darwin said, I'm also interested in knowing what gets us up in the morning, not just what keeps us up at night, but what gets us up in the morning. All right, beautiful. So many names, so many people, so many places. Ahava Rabbah Ahavta Adonai Eloheinu Chamla Gedola Vetera Hamata Aleinu Avinu Malkeinu Avur Avoteinu Shebatchu Becha Avinu Malkeinu Batelamdem Chukecha Ken techoneinu talamdeinu Avinu ha'av harachaman Hamerachem rachem aleinu V'ten b'libeinu lehavin Lehavin ulehaskil lishmoa Le'amor ulelamed Lishmor v'lasot Ukayem et kol divrei Talmud Torah techa b'ahava
והאר עינינו בתורתך, ודבק ליבנו מצוותך, ויחד לבבינו האהבה וליראת שמך, ולא נבוש לעולם ועד. Lo nevash le'olam va'ed ki b'shem kodshecha ha'gadol ve'hanora batachnu nagila v'nismecha nagila v'nismecha v'yishuatecha.
Go ahead and gather the four corners of your tzitzit. This didn't come through earlier. I said the talis is this magnificent garment that we gather around ourselves. It has to be whole. It has to have its four corners intact in order to put tzitzit on it in the first place. But then the tzitzit are definitionally fragmented, disparate, not whole, not together. And so as we gather them, as we say these words, Ahavienu l'shalom, we gather ourselves in peace. We pray that all the fragmented pieces may, on the one hand, retain their integrity and their beauty in all of their independence and difference, and yet at the same time be brought together in love, connected as they are by a single garment of destiny, as we all are.
והביאנו לשלום מארבע כנפות הארץ, ותוליכנו קוממיית ארצנו, כי אל פועל ישועות אתה, ובאנו בחרת מכולם בלשון, וקרבתנו לשמך הגדול סלע ואמת, להודות לך, לייחדך, באהבה. ברוך אתה אדוני, הבוחר בעמו ישראל, באהבה. שמה Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'odecha. Ve'hayu hadvarim ha'ele. אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבבך. שיננת העם לבנך ודיברת בם, ושבתך בביתך ובלכתך בדרך, ושוכבך ובקומך, וקשרת מלאות על ידך, והיו לתותפות בין עיניך, וכתבת העם על מזוזות ביתך ובישריך.
All right, I did bring a little Torah to learn this morning, and it is 8:30, and so I want to do Kaddish Yatom before we do any learning from the Parsha for anybody who might have to leave. Oh man, Judaism is so full of words and rituals. Scrolling through them all here, and this isn't even all of them. All right, I've arrived at Kaddish Yatom, Warner's Kaddish. Who are we remembering this morning? Okay. Thank you. My father, David Rose. I'm just going to read these out loud. World Central Kitchen workers. Yeah, truly. Truly. Earlier, Dahlia also, just as she always does, included everybody in Israel and Palestine, hoping and praying for healing. And in this case, yes, for my died and died in untimely ways and unfortunate ways. Glenn's mother, Muriel Kornblath. Yeah, it was freaky. That's nice. Anybody else? All right. Is there anybody who would like to practice Kaddish this morning? All right. Okay. Yitgadal v'yitgadash, Shmei Rabbah.
ועמה דברי חירותי וימליך מלכותי בחי יכון וביומי יכון ובחיי דכל בית ישראל, בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ואמרו, אמין. יהי שמי רבה מבורך לעולם ולעמי המאיה. יתברך וישתבח ויתפאר ויתרומם ויתנשא, יתהדר ויתעלה ויתהלל שמי דקודשה, בריחו. לאלה מן כל ברכתה ושירתה, תוש בחתה ונחמתה, דמירן ועלמה ואמרו, אמין. יהי שלמה רבה מן שמיה וחיים עלינו ועל כל ישראל, אמרו, אמין. עושה שלום במרומיו, הוא יעשה שלום עלינו ועל כל ישראל, ועל כל יושבי תבל. אמרו, אמין. May all of their memories be blessings. What I should have played this morning and still could play is the Indigo Girls song, Strange Fire, because that is what we read about in the Parsha. And in fact, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. Strange Fire lyrics, Indigo Girls. All right, y'all, before we hear this, it's important to actually know what the Indigo Girls were riffing on 30 years ago or whenever it was. It's Rabbi Lizzie's favorite portion. I wouldn't call it my favorite portion. I mean, it's a doozy, but any excuse to play and sing Indigo Girls, I know that's what you actually mean. All right, so let me at least show you here what we're working with in Parshat Shemini. So Shemini refers to on the eighth day after 7 days of preparation and training the priests how to be priests. On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel and began to instruct them in how to inaugurate the Mishkan. He said to Aaron, take a calf of the herd and a sin offering and a ram and a burnt offering without blemish, bring them before God and speak to the Israelites saying, take a he-goat offering for a sin offering. Ooh, a sin offering. That's important to remember here. A calf and a lamb, yearlings without blemish, right? He's teaching them how to make different kinds of offerings, a sin offering, this kind of sin offering. Oh, but this is a well-being offering. There are all kinds of different sacrifices that Aaron can be making on behalf of himself, his household, and also the people. They brought to the front of the tent of meeting the things that Moses had commanded. The community leadership came forward and stood before God. This is what God has commanded that you do, that the presence of Hashem may appear to you. Kavod Adonai. This is all important stuff because it is a prelude to the part that gets all the attention in the next chapter. It's really important. All of this ceremony and precision is about calling forth God's presence. And then Moses said to Aaron, come forward to the altar, sacrifice your sin offering, your burnt offering, make expiation for yourself and the people. Scratch your chin. What, like, why is Aaron making expiation for himself and the people? Any ideas? And then sacrifice the people's offering and make expiation for them as God has commanded. Aaron came forward to the altar, slaughtered his calf for a sin offering. Aaron's sons brought the blood to him. He dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar. This is all so visceral for anybody who heard me talk last night about like sacrifices as, you know, closeness to God. Honestly, like the visceralness, you have to feel something. I mean, poured out the rest of the blood on the altar. Ugh, like then a bunch of stuff that's very the people who deal with now are not, that you deal with this now are not priests. They're like the, you know, the fishmonger or the meat person at the counter at the supermarket, but like the fat and the kidneys and the protuberance on the liver for the sin offering, you can actually almost feel how if you did all of this stuff and successfully completed the task, you would feel like, ooh, yeah, I am expiated. I did a gross thing and now I'm through it. In any case, Aaron does all this stuff on behalf of the people. Turns all of it into smoke on the altar. He washes the entrails and the legs, turns it into smoke on the altar. And next he brings forward the people's offering. And he took the goat from the people's offering, slaughters it, and presents it as a sin offering like the previous one. Okay, one after the next, on and on and on, the more and more and more. And you're watching as I'm scrolling through his. Okay, and Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the offering of well-being. Moses and Aaron went inside the tent. When they came out, they blessed the people.
and the presence of God, Kavod Adonai El Ha'am, the presence of God appeared to all the people. And fire came forth from God and consumed the burnt offering and the fat parts on the altar. And the people saw and they shouted and they fell on their faces. What I like about this is that it gives you both the kind of boring old details of how sacrifices used to be made. And of course, you know, people don't do that anymore. And so we usually just kind of like skip through this part because it's a little gross. But then at the end, you see the result is that the people are moved. They fall on their faces. They're shouting, you know, that like this is ecstatic. Okay. And then we move into chapter 10. And now Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu, each took his fire pan, put fire in it, and laid incense on it. They offered before God Esh Zara, alien fire, some kind of strange fire, which had not been commanded of them. Asher lo tziva otam. Right? Like we saw in the first part, Moses was very explicit about everything that was to happen. Nobody gave them these instructions. They just went ahead and did it. And fire came forth from God and consumed them. And thus they died at the instance of God. And then Moses said to Aaron, this is what God meant by saying, through those near to me, I will show myself holy and gain glory for the people, before all the people. Vayidom Aharon. And Aaron was silent. Not my favorite parsha because it's very intense and very confusing. And there are a lot of commentary writers that spill a lot of ink over what on earth happened here. What on earth? So I was going to bring you some of Aviva Zornberg, but before I do, I want to, you know, because we got to sing. So anybody is welcome to join me in this. What I love about this is they imagine Nadav and Avihu coming forward, not with insolence or with impatience or immaturity. They're making an offering of love. I come to you with strange fire. I make an offering of love. The incense of my soul is burned by the fire in my blood. I come with a softer answer to the questions that lie in your path. I want to harbor you from the anger, find a refuge from the wrath. This is a message of love, love that moves from the inside out, love that never grows tired. I come to you with strange fire. Mercenaries of the shrine, now who are you to speak for God? With haughty eyes and lying tongues, hands that shed innocent blood, now who delivered you the power to interpret cavalry, to gamble away our freedom, to gain your own authority? Find another state of mind, reach out and grab hold. Strange fire burns with the motion of love. When you learn to love yourself, you will dissolve all the stones that are cast. You will learn to burn the ice and sky, to melt the wax and mass. And I said to have the gift of true release is a peace that will take you higher. Oh, I come to you with my offering. I bring you the strange fire. This is a message. A message of love. Love that moves from the inside out. Love that never grows tired. I come to you with strange fire.
You've been listening to Contact Chai, a production of Mishkan Chicago. If you were inspired or informed by this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts so that others can encounter our work. And if you appreciate what Mishkan is doing, I invite you to join as a builder or make a donation on our website at mishkanchicago.org. Shabbat Shalom!